Welcome to the broadcast of Mission Field USA. Our aim is to remind believers in the United States that we are living in a mostly postmodern, paganized, unevangelized nation. We desire to stir all believers everywhere to reach the lost with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God to salvation for all who believe. Our website is missionfieldusa.com. And here is today's broadcast.
Well, good day. This is Steve Copeland, and this is Mission Field USA. Our website is missionfieldusa.com. That's missionfieldusa.com. We have launched this radio program and this website to draw attention to the reality that the United States of America is a huge mission field. Does this shock you? Let me give you some information. Pollster George Barna and historian David Barton, both men of tremendous credibility and stature, they've done extensive research in the last few years and have determined that only 6%, yes, 6% of Americans embrace the Bible as absolute truth and the final authority in their lives. This means that 94% of Americans, around 300 million people, are needing to be reached with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does this seem crazy? Now, those who are living in the South, what's historically been called the Bible Belt, this may seem crazy. Perhaps there's been a season of insulation. I was born in Poughkeepsie, New York in 1958 and grew up in the New York metropolitan area. I was not a believer in Jesus Christ. My father was Jewish, my mother Catholic, and we had all the holidays, but none of the reality spiritually in our home. When I graduated high school in 1976, there were 252 graduates in that high school class. Somewhere between 3 and 5 of those graduates were born-again Christians, knowing Jesus Christ. That's less than 2% of the class. This was over 45 years ago in New York. Now, for those in the South who seem to say, well, that's not what's happening here, I raise a question, and we should all ask a question. Do we have cultural Christianity in the South, or do we have converted Christianity? Born again, converted to Christ. Now, I've traveled now to nearly all the states in the United States and to nations around the world and can tell you there's much move of the Holy Spirit in other places. But our nation has drifted away from God. And thus, Mission Field USA and our website, missionfieldusa.com, is calling born-again believers to seriously consider and turn to what the men of old called importunate prayer, like Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, where it says, Epaphras, who's among you, labors fervently in prayer on your behalf. That word labors in the Greek is agonizo, from which we get the word agonize. How many people agonize in prayer for the lost in our society and for the saved to grow up into the full measure of the stature of Christ? Mission Field USA is calling people to genuine intercession. This is an overused word and an underpracticed reality in the body of Christ, particularly in the West. Intercession calls for your entire being, spirit, soul, and body to be committed to the purpose and will of God for an individual or a situation or a nation or the body of Christ. It's costly. It costs you everything. It costs you your time. It costs you your commitments to other things because it requires one to stand in the gap as our Lord Jesus does all the time. He ever lives to make intercession for us, it says in Hebrews chapter 7, and he's calling his people to that place of intercession. Mission Field USA is calling people to share the gospel now. Billy Graham said the gospel is always relevant. Always present, always today. Mission Field USA is calling others to inspire others to do so. It's not for Christian professionals to share the gospel. It's for the entire body of Christ, and it's one of the most transformative things that one can do. The great Chinese apostle and minister of the gospel, Watchman Nee, once said in his basic lesson series where he was teaching scores of men as he knew he was going to be thrown in prison under Mao Zedong. So he was teaching what he called the basic series of 50 or so lessons. And one of those was on doing the work of an evangelist. Watchman Nee said, if you do not learn to share the gospel in the first year of your life as a believer, you will probably go your whole life without sharing the gospel. My appeal to all who listen today and to every member of the body of Christ is let's reset our clock and say this is year one, and sometime soon let us begin to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it will become a lifetime habit for the rest of our days on the earth. Forgetting those things that are behind, let's press forth in this area of our walk with God. Now, it's interesting. If all the born-again believers in America determined today to begin to share the gospel with those who are among and in their neighborhoods and where they work and where they shop and just handed out gospel tracts, do you know that within 2 weeks, everyone in America would have heard the gospel? That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's how simple it is. And that shows how stuntingly short we are of carrying out our responsibility. Now, I think those who know the Lord Jesus realize without a revival, without a great awakening, without a move of the Holy Spirit across our land, our nation is in serious straits. All the laws and all the rules and all the judges' decisions and all the trends in our society cannot be overcome except for through the power of the gospel. For even as Paul said, he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. So we stand before the Lord praying, saying, Lord, rend the heavens and come down, like Isaiah said in Isaiah 64. Some have seen moves of the Spirit either in isolated situations or back during the Jesus movement, many young people came to Christ. But a large percentage of those didn't stay the course because they didn't understand the commitment of the full gospel to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And then he walks with you and in you and through you and lives his life and does glorious things. But so often, as the pressures of life, the cares of this world cause people to turn back and not continuing to follow him. May it be in this last hour, the last season, whatever we want to call it, may all those who got saved during the Jesus movement be reignited and go the way of the cross. Now, Mission Field USA, really one of the core things we do is we go on evangelistic excursions to those least evangelized places in America. We pray about where to go, and then we go. And we go as a crew of men. Those men are chosen of God. I send out word about these excursions, and then he raises up those who go. And we go to cities and towns and go from sea to shining sea and go out handing out gospel tracts, playing Christian music, sharing the gospel through public preaching, meeting with people everywhere we go, in every restaurant and every hotel and every pit stop along the way. And we've been doing this now since 2019. The burden was birthed well over a decade ago. And now seems the time to proceed and continue to proceed along this front. Our burden, we would love to see 3,000 men going on these kind of excursions. 1 million people a day would be hearing the gospel. How extraordinary. Well, let me read a scripture, one that is not often used when it's pertaining to the gospel of Christ. It's 2 Kings chapter 7, but it speaks volumes about this good news. It says, then Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. It was a tremendous famine. And the word of the Lord comes, you mean tomorrow this famine's going to be over with and we'll have such provision? So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be? And if he, and Elisha said to this man, in fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it. This man had unbelief in his heart, so he would not participate in it. Verse 3, now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall only die. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. And they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired us against the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Now therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank, and carried away from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. And they went back and entered into another tent and carried some from there also and went in and hid it. And then they said to one another, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell. Isn't this the situation in the body of Christ in America? We're sitting around. In many ways, we feel weak and insufficient, almost as if there's a famine in the land, like it says in Amos, where it talks about a famine from the hearing of the words of the Lord, we feel insufficient as if there's something lacking in our lives. And then suddenly, we realize that God, through Christ, has won a great salvation. And he opens our eyes to this great victory that the enemies have fled and the spoils of battle are available in victory. And then we spend it on ourselves. We need to look at each other and say, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news. And we're remaining silent, self-absorbed, self-centered, committed to ourselves only. And if we wait till morning light, when Jesus comes, some punishment will come upon us for our self-centeredness. Now, therefore, come, let us go and tell. The question we need to ask ourselves as believers in Christ, whether we're shy or whether we're outgoing, whether we're smart or we're uneducated, whether we're young or old, male or female, whether we've been with the Lord a long time or not been with the Lord a long time, whether we've struggled and sinned or whether we've walked in victory. Isn't this the time to share the good news? If we remain silent, something, some punishment will come upon us. Can we not shake off our lethargy? Can we not turn from our self-centeredness and self-indulgence? Isaiah 52 says, awake, awake, as if now is the time to be engaged, alive, committed. The Lord Jesus said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. I must confess, when I was a new believer, I shared the gospel with everyone I knew, hundreds of people. And then I sort of settled down and stopped sharing so often. I would go out sometimes or here and there would do some, and a lot of very creative ways would try to share, but not as a lifestyle. And part of something said into me, it's not time for the harvest. It was a strange thought, but then I looked around, and as I talked to other believers, it seemed as though they were all in the same place. But our Lord Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. There are people ready to receive Christ. Billy Graham in Amsterdam in 1983 said, you are called, and I am called, to stand in the ruins of the city of man and proclaim the truth of the city that God is building. There's a city whose builder and maker is God. It's the everlasting city. It's the city that comes down as a bride adorned for her husband in Revelation. And when we lead others to Christ, when we proclaim the gospel, we're adding to that city. Here we are standing in the ruins of the city of man, where nothing comes to the end that God has for it. No political power, no entertainment, no form of athletic achievement, no business accomplishment will go into that city. We are standing in the place of ruins. Every city that's ever stood has declined and decayed and come to nothing. But we are those speaking the word of God that can add gold, precious stone, and pearls to that city by encouraging people to look to Jesus Christ, who's the Lamb, who is the light of the city of God. Our Lord Jesus said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. All of humanity is lost. All are born dead in trespasses and sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet Christ died for sinners, of whom I am chief. Christ came in the world to save sinners. Lord, would you go before us and save? Now the Lord Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The call to discipleship, a follower, a learner, brings us into a living fellowship with the Lord and other members of the body of Christ to be built up in love. But in addition, this calls us to be his witnesses, sharing the life of Christ here on earth while on our way to heaven. And one very important aspect of sharing his life is bringing the good news to those who are lost. If we don't say it, they're not going to hear. It's interesting, one of the great evangelists, lesser known, but great evangelists of the last 50 years said, for some reason, more people seem to get saved when I open my mouth and share the gospel than when they don't. Why is that? Because it says in Romans 10 that it is through the mouth one brings the gospel and confesses unto righteousness. Now, we need to be honest about our nation. I love our nation. I was born in 1958. I've been a patriot all my life. But I'm honest about our nation. I don't want to see it through rose-colored glasses. I don't want to see it through vain imaginations or hopefulness. I need to be real and honest about what our nation is. Our nation is imploding. It has largely lost its way. Born-again Christians alone have the only message of hope. We must bring this message to a lost and dying world. And by and large, the lost are not coming to the churches. They're not coming to us. We must go to them. MissionFieldUSA.com excursions are largely to unreached areas in the United States. The aim is to share the good news through the handing out of gospel booklets, gospel tracts, one-on-one evangelism, preaching, worship music, the Jesus film, and other divinely appointed opportunity. Let me share a little bit about the excursions that we have undertaken. In September 2019, a number of us went to the Hudson Valley in New York. We also went to New York City, but that was really not part of our original plan until we were asked to go there by a number of other individuals. We went through the Hudson Valley, Rockland County, New York, all the way up to Albany. We stopped in New Paltz and Poughkeepsie and Kingston and many of the other communities along the way. Seven of us went on that first excursion. We had never done anything like this before. We prayed, we sought the Lord, and went. During that time, we were able to hand out over 4,000 Gospels of John and 15,000 gospel tracts. There were numerous one-on-one opportunities to share, and several prayed to receive Christ, and numerous others turned back to the Lord and received a cup of cold water in a parched land. The Lord's presence was extraordinary every step of the way, including in restaurants, hotels, and other venues. I could talk about so many situations, like when we were at the campus of the State University of New York at New Paltz, and the police were holding a special event in one of the main student lounge cafeterias. Come meet the police today. And while they were all meeting the police, we were sharing the gospel across the campus. What an amazing thing the Lord did. I'll never forget the man riding the bicycle down the streets of some small town in upstate New York, and I saw in his eyes a life broken. I stopped him. We talked. He said, God has left me. I said, let us pray now. We prayed, and he left a different man. Many stories like this. From sea to shining sea, there are opportunities to preach the gospel. We were in New York City on several occasions during that time, including in Times Square one evening. And it said on the billboard in Times Square while we were there, who can save us? And we were there proclaiming Jesus Christ alone can save us. In February 2020, we went to Montego Bay, Jamaica. We don't really intend to leave America that much, but a door opened. And three of us went and distributed over 1,000 Gospels of John and 10,000 gospel tracts to multitudes of people in Jamaica. We showed the Jesus film and had many encounters, and we saw individuals pray to receive Christ. In May and June of 2020, while COVID was running full rampant, we went to New England where the gospel needs to be preached. The gospel was brought to New England in the early days of this country. New England now is the least gospelized part of the nation. Everywhere you go, you see the rainbow flag saying homosexuality is right. You see all sorts of other flags and things that are declaring in complete denial of the ways and word of God. We went to Provincetown, Massachusetts, the homosexual capital of the East Coast, where nearly everyone there is a homosexual, and they're living their lifestyle out in the open in a very egregious way, but we went and shared the love of God through Jesus Christ with them. We went to Providence, Rhode Island, to Boston, Massachusetts, to Springfield. We went to New Hampshire. We went to cities in Connecticut, and place after place we saw wonderful opportunities. We were able to distribute over 35,000 gospel tracts at a time when COVID was running rampant and over 7,500 Gospels of John. And we left with a sense that we must continue to pray for this part of the country. In September of 2020, we returned to New York. We went to New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, visited places like Paterson, New Jersey, New Rochelle, New York, Stamford, Connecticut, Jersey City, New Jersey, Nyack, New York, White Plains, New York, Hoboken, New Jersey, Jackson Heights, Queens, Paramus, New Jersey, New City, places I knew of when I grew up. And everywhere we went, there was a hunger to receive the Word of God. In future broadcasts, I'm going to talk more about the opportunities to share the good news on these excursions. Let me encourage everyone to ask themselves the simple question, am I like the Dead Sea, just taking things in but not much life? Am I like the Sea of Galilee, where the water's coming in and the water's going out, and I'm teeming with life? May we, by the Holy Spirit, be those who bring the good news of the gospel everywhere we go. This is Steve Copeland with Mission Field USA. Go to missionfieldusa.com to learn more. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Mission Field USA. Please ask yourself, this week, how will I reach the lost with the good news of the gospel of Christ, and then take that first bold step that will change your life and lives of those you reach? Next time, we will have another encouraging update regarding the glorious gospel Jesus Christ and how we can reach our mission for Christ. For further updates, go to missionfieldusa.com. Thank you.